Ted TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan. We are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we'll look at the developments around the Packers so far this offseason, including the hiring of a new head coach, brand spanking new. But right now, it's time for some Packers news.
Because there's no good, bad, and the ugly, because there's no Packers football. You know what? You know why there's no Packers football, Corey?
Why?
Because they're not good anymore.
Oh.
Remember when they were good?
Yeah, I do.
And they played in the playoffs?
I do.
And they competed for Super Bowls?
Yep.
And they were, how was that, what, contenders?
Contenders.
I miss those days.
I do too.
I really miss
those
days.
I watched most of the playoff games, but it was hard.
You know what sucked?
What's that?
The playoffs. You know why?
Why?
Because the Packers weren't in them.
I agree.
You remember that feeling you used to get January rolls around?
Oh, yeah.
And all these other teams are sitting at home.
Yep.
And you're like one of the chosen few. One of the fan bases whose season is still going on. And now it's like a lead up every week. Remember that I should have pulled this. Remember that video that homeboy out in California made the leading up to the Dallas game when he made, it was like Rogue One was coming out for Star Wars. And he did that mashup of like Rogue One and the Packers. And that was that feeling of like, you are one of the teams that could possibly get in the soup. Now we're like talking about who's the special teams coordinator going to be.
Although this week we were crying. This week, if we were in the playoffs, we were crying.
Yeah, maybe. But we had a chance.
I guess.
You had a chance.
We had a chance, and then this week we'd be crying.
Yeah, more often than not, but not always.
The last 9 years.
Yes,
eight
but
years.
Not always. I'm just saying. I miss those days. I miss that feeling.
I think we'll get the feeling back.
I hope so.
I think we'll get the feeling
back.
I hope so. I'm excited about it.
The big headline, of course, since last we jawed, and I went back and watched our last show because, you know, I didn't want to repeat ourselves. You know, the hiring of a new head coach. 15th in the franchise history.
Number 15.
Lucky 15.
That's a lucky number.
Sure. Why not? Matt LaFleur, who we didn't say a whole lot about on the last show.
No. Nope.
Because, you know, we only touched on each guy really, really, really quickly. So I just wanted to say, you know, welcome to Matt LaFleur. Welcome to the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers, who is already following in the long tradition of standing up Packer transplants. He was booked to be on this show to come say hello to the fans.
If you're not a coach of the Green Bay Packers if you don't stand up.
I mean, and you're not following tradition if you don't say, yes, I'll do it. And then, like, you know, within 24 hours of the airing of said show, you decide, no, I'm not going to do it.
Well, didn't you post that he was going to come on the show?
No, I didn't. I made sure not to.
Oh, I thought you jinxed it by doing that.
Because I didn't want to jinx it. Hmm. But yeah, Matt LaFleur, I mentioned early on Daily on Monday, I said we could possibly have a surprise guest. That was going to be the surprise guest.
That was the only reason I agreed to do the show.
I know. So I was really happy. I had not only did I have Matt LaFleur, but I had Corey Banky for an off-season edition of Packer Transplants, which never happens. But oh well. But the fans now get a special taste of off-season Banky. Because, you know, it's a special Super Bowl edition.
Yeah, Super Bowl. Man.
I can tell you're excited.
I'm not excited.
No?
I feel bad for Saints fans, but I really want the Rams to win, though.
You don't feel bad for Saints fans.
I do.
Get out of here with that nonsense.
I do. I feel bad for Saints fans. You know, the last time we were on the show.
Did Saints fans feel sorry for you when Aaron Rodgers had his face mask pulled down in Arizona?
No.
I don't think so.
No, but I know that feeling.
Yeah, you know that feeling.
I know
that's
that
right.
feeling about.
You know that feeling of having to buck up and get over it.
I know that feeling about getting robbed by the NFL and the officiating in the NFL. I know that feeling well.
Word. So you're
and
practicing
actually,
empathy. I
you
like
know,
it.
I got a little nit to pick with you, Nagler.
Oh, boy. With me.
Last time we were on the show.
With me?
You told me, we were talking about how we should take, you were saying how we should take, what's his name? Phil Merryboy.
Golden Tate?
Yeah. And you told me not to get emotional, okay?
Right. You're saying I get emotional?
No, I'm just saying that's not about getting emotional.
We're totally off script already.
That's not about getting emotional. Long. It's just like there's some people that are on the list that you can't take no matter what.
Right. Okay. And that would be, yes, an emotional decision. Because, look, if you can help your football team, I want him on the team. I think they can do better than Golden Tate.
Yeah.
I think Golden Tate is a fine player, but I think I want somebody younger, more explosive, etc. I think he's a fine player. Wasn't prepared to talk about Golden Tate today, but okay. Yeah,
I'm just bringing it up. I just remembered right now. I was trying to think of what I really wanted to talk about in the show, and that was one of the things. The other thing I really wanted to talk about that's not in the script that we're going to talk about later.
What's that?
That's I'm going to let people wait for that. That was a tease.
Let me tell you, Banky, traditionally, a tease is something where you say a little something about...
Oh, you didn't turn your cell phone off.
No, I didn't, because I might be getting a very important call. It might be Matt LaFleur. Hello? No, it's not Matt LaFleur? Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. It wasn't the head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
What would we can't even get your cell phone into the show right now, so what would we have done?
I would just hold it up here. Every time you've ever missed a watch party... And we've always said, call Banky. All I do is hold up my phone to
the
mic.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know?
That works.
I'm a producer, Banky. I make it happen.
You're an operator.
Something. Should we get back to the script?
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham.
And no one is happy about it.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
I saw the news and I was reading all the responses and literally no one. It was like you're like, Christmas is coming. And everybody's
everyone
like,
said... Nah.
Nah, I don't want any presents.
Everyone said burn Santa Claus to the ground. Here's the funny thing is I had said earlier this offseason that I thought it was a good idea to bring him back.
Ah.
Simply because you brought him in to play with Aaron Rodgers. He clearly came to Green Bay to play with Aaron Rodgers. He was a bit misused, a bit miscast, and he had a broken thumb, etc., blah, blah, blah. Bring him back one more year. I mean, yes, I understand the idea behind or the desire to cut him and maybe save a little money, although you are going to pay a little money, etc. But look, bringing Jimmy Graham back doesn't preclude you from going and drafting a young tight end as you should have years ago. But yes.
But are they really, though?
I doubt it. Of course not. They've made...
They're not going to draft
zero bones about the fact that they have, you know... not dipped into talent-rich draft classes for the last 2 or 3 years at the tight end position. So, you know, I'm not holding out hope that all of a sudden that's going to turn around.
I think actually bringing Graham back negates them getting a tight end in the draft.
I don't think it should, but you're probably right. At least like a high.
I hope I'm wrong.
High pick.
I hope I'm they're not going to take a tight end, and they take a tight end in the first round. If there's
possible.
A tight end to be had in the first round.
What's so funny is that I can pull a clip from transplants 3 drafts ago, I believe it was, maybe 2 drafts ago, where you went on a very impassioned plea that they needed to draft a tight end. And let the record reflect, let history show that Corey Banky was correct. You were right.
Yeah, but what would he have known what to do with
Hunter
the tight
Henry,
end?
I think, is the guy you were pining for.
What would he have done with the tight end, though?
You mean Mike McCarthy?
Yes.
I don't know.
Clearly, he doesn't know.
Well, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Because
of Mike McCarthy?
He seemed to know what to do with JerMichael Finley.
Yeah.
Until Finley got hurt.
Which era?
Right.
Late era Mike McCarthy,
was a little
not so
tough.
Much.
Was a little tough. No
late
doubt.
Era Mike McCarthy had a hard time understanding which running back was the best one.
That's true. It's true, he did. But... that's neither here nor there. It's ancient history. Continue on our script here. Luke Getsy, he's back in a different role.
Wonder why.
He's back as quarterback's coach.
QB1.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers absolutely really, 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 really likes Getsy.
Clearly.
I've heard that from a few people. And Getsy had left for his season because his contract was up. He wanted to kind of continue on his career as far as he became an offensive coordinator in college. Now he's back. I think from what I heard, the whole recruiting aspect of it wasn't really his cup of tea. So he did want to get back into the pros. And obviously the Packers having a job come open where he gets to work with the superstar quarterback who, oh, it just so happens, really, really likes him as a coach and as a person. Seems like a good fit.
What QB1 wants, QB1 getsies.
Well, oh,
you like that?
Oh my God. Did you just think of that? That's pretty good. Were you working on that the whole time or did you just come up with it in the moment?
I'm not going to tell you.
You're not going to disclose.
I wish that you had let it be clean so that I had the whole thing. So when you trim it later, it's clean. But other than that, I thought it was pretty good delivery.
You just described pretty much every clip I've ever taken from Packer transplants and put on social. But I understand. I'm just trying to empathize with you, Corey, much like
But you really like that, earlier. Though. You would have had that in the script had you thought of it.
I didn't think of it. That's why it was great. I loved it.
I can come up with good things once every five shows.
That's good. Since we do a show a week during the season and like two shows
that's
every offseason?
Once every 2 months.
That's good. I'm impressed. Getsy's back. Alvis Whitted to coach the wide receivers. You're a big fan.
Oh, yeah.
I know. You have no idea who this guy is.
What are we talking about?
Former wide receiver. Yeah, there you go. I just had to put it in there because it's news. This is the news in the offseason, Banky.
Alvis Whitted.
Okay. Coaching the wide receivers. Milt Hendrickson joins the front office. Former national scout for the Ravens. Wisconsin, born and bred. Old, longtime friend of Brian Gutekunst. I wondered this the other day. Did Milt Hendrickson remember? You won't remember this because you poo-poo this kind of
stuff. Who's Milt
stuff.
Hendrickson?
He is the now director of football operations for the Green Bay Packers.
Who was before?
Elliot Wolf.
They waited this long to replace Elliot Wolf?
Pretty much, yeah.
Kind wow. Of.
But here's what
That's
I was thinking.
It's a long recruiting process.
Here's what. Well, they here's the thing. Per Bob McGinn's reporting, non-friend of show.
So maybe can't be trusted.
No. This is true. I checked it out. Last year they tried to hire this guy, and the Ravens wouldn't let him out of his contract.
Mm.
The Ravens blocked it.
So they were holding a
spot.
So
they just wait. Yeah, they wait. Basically knew once his contract was up, they would come to Green Bay. That's what they've done. But I wondered this the other day as I was perusing the Packers roster because that's the kind of loser I am.
I was wondering what you do here in the offseason, but now I figured it out.
Well, what's even worse is I was doing this perusing at home at like 11:30 after a few beers.
You're like... I just got to look at the roster real quick.
This is my life.
Let me look at the roster in January real quick.
Banky, this is what I do now. I look at the King Packers roster on my own time at 11:30 at night.
Nice.
Several beers in. But I was wondering. So they got this Siragusa kid who was, you know, they stole off the practice squad from Baltimore. Did like Milt Hendrickson call up Gutekunst and go, yo, I know you guys need offensive line help. And this guy probably won't help you this year, but I'm going to be there next year. You should steal this kid because he could help you. Because I've seen that you guys have problems along your interior. This might, you know, be at least part of the solution, at least depth-wise. Like, that would not surprise me in the slightest if that's what happened. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying it.
Okay.
Banky's, like, so interested. See, this is why I need to go to the combine because... That's where you have these kind of conversations where people are like all in. I talked to Banky and he's like, yeah, whatever.
Why are we talking about coaches?
Because that's the off season and that's when people get hired. And this guy's a scout. He's not a coach.
Even worse.
Speaking of coaches, Tom Silverstein breaking the news. The Packers sound like they're zeroing in on their special teams coordinator, the Ron Zook replacement.
Are we pouring one out for Ron Zook or what?
We need to, man. We need to. There you go.
Ron Zook. Thank you for getting the hell out of the Green Bay Packers because you sucked, you sucked, you sucked.
Sean, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name, forgive me, Menenenga is leader in the clubhouse to take on the awesome responsibility of coordinating the Packers special teams.
Special teams. Maybe one day they won't be so special. Maybe they'll be
Special in the right way.
Special in the right way. Maybe they'll be exemplary.
Okay, so
one day.
So Matt LaFleur, your new Green Bay Packers head coach, had a fun quote on the radio program that he was on last week before he was supposed to be on this show and then didn't show up.
Mm.
Okay, so last week on the show he actually did show up for in the morning, talking to some guys about the Green Bay Packers, much like he should have been today with us talking to some guys about the Green Bay Packers. Like last week, this was a different show that he went on where he talked about Aaron Rodgers. And he was asked about Aaron Rodgers' season last year, the 2018 season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was asked, is it foreboding? Is it hard to wrap your head around the idea that one of the big reasons you're here is to, quote, fix Aaron Rodgers? And LaFleur, he was a very good political answer where he said, you know, oh, Aaron Rodgers doesn't need fixing.
Really?
You know, doesn't need fixing. You know, if you win, this was his gist. If you win, all that conversation goes away. Which is true to an extent.
It is true.
But it would be nice.
I mean, if the Packers won the Super Bowl this year, would anybody care how bad he was?
Played a little better.
But would anybody care?
But it's just...
I wouldn't.
Is it so hard just to, like, acknowledge that... Okay, and you know what I'm so sick of? This leads into it. What I'm so sick of is Aaron Rodgers' standard. It's, he set such a high standard. Like, okay, that's great. That's wonderful. Yes, he set a high standard years ago.
Right.
Years ago.
Right, right, right.
But in this season, in 2018, in the present... he's throwing balls at receivers' feet. He's overthrowing guys. He's throwing balls out of bounds rather than try and fit one in.
Yeah.
Can we talk about, like, okay, that's great. You know, George Lucas set a standard in 1977. You know?
Oh, man.
That The Last Jedi didn't meet. So let's try and
The
meet.
Last Jedi? I mean, George Lucas set a
the
standard.
The prequels didn't
and
meet.
And the prequels, like, that's throwing balls at people's feet.
The prequels were like Anthony Dilwig. You know? Like, let's... Can we just talk about the present? Can we worry about, like, I understand he can't say
if the prequels were as good as The
things.
Last Jedi, people would not hate George Lucas.
See, but The Last Jedi was like prequel level bad.
No.
It's close.
No, because
Canto Bite?
No, because at least the acting was okay. The acting is so bad in the prequels.
It is, but okay, here's my thing.
Jar Jar Binks is better.
Oh, that Jar Jar
but
Binks,
Jar Jar
shot
Binks
to the sun.
Is better acting than
some of the humans?
Than Darth Vader.
Well, here's the thing.
He's
Anakin's
terrible.
Guy. Yeah.
Oh, man. Anakin.
Here's my thing.
Hayden Christensen. Whatever happened to that guy? Yeah, he sucked. Yeah. That's why he's not acting
here's
anymore.
Here's the thing for me with, you know, when you look at Last Jedi, it's like there are parts and there are moments. And this is actually true of both the new
It's a cool idea
films.
As a through line, too.
Like, it's okay. But, like, when I look at it and I think, all right, you look at the acting, right? You're talking about the acting. And it's like, is the acting better than the prequels? Okay, yeah, fine. Not a high, but it's like saying, you know, I'd rather be crucified than burned alive.
True.
Like, whatever.
That's
okay,
true.
Fine. But it's like...
It is better.
Remember when you watched the original trilogy and the Empire, right?
Remember you watched the original trilogy when you were like 13.
I know. But okay. I can watch it now as an informed adult.
Right, but
whatever.
You're also...
I have associations. I understand that.
There's all
I totally that. Understand that, right? But I also know that I look at it and I see like a guy on the bridge of a Star Destroyer saying, you know... you know, there are, you know, dudes there that want to, you know, destroy we got to get the rebellion, whatever. But they're saying it as adults in a moment of reality. Whereas like in the sequels now, the Disney ones, the new ones, J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson, it's like, they're like aping what they saw.
They're a caricature.
In the original trilogy. Because like, you know, J.J. Abrams talked all about like, oh, and the Empire was always my favorite, and I love that we have these scenes, the guys on the Star Trek. Yeah, they're just chewing scenery and going, you know, fire the ventral cannons.
Yeah.
Like, just say the line, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that...
That dude sucked.
He's awful.
He's terrible.
He's awful. And he's
I'm so sick of him.
He's pretty good.
He's
but
a
like,
good actor.
He's a good actor,
he's
but
not
he's
good
terrible in those films.
So anyway, back to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers should really kind of tone it down. With the Star Wars stuff, is what I'm saying.
But I would say, and Packer fans don't want to hear this, but Aaron Rodgers was not playing at Last Jedi-like levels. He was playing at Jar Jar Binks-like levels this season. Okay?
No.
Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes.
He's slightly above Jar Jar Binks level.
I don't think so.
He's like Ewan McGregor in the prequels level.
He got so many passes this year. Like, I look at, even from myself, if I look at myself over Packer transplants,
you stripped him of the title of QB1 last show.
But I gave him so many passes, and right. He didn't deserve them for the season that he had.
Right.
He deserved them. This is what happened to us, right? Mm-hmm. We got spoiled on the first game.
Right, with the big comeback and the magical ending.
The first game was right. Star Wars 1978. 77. Yeah. I don't know. I was born in 76, Nagler. I was 2.
Oh my God.
Okay, I can't say all the lines of Star Wars like you can, so I'm sorry. But it was the comeback. He destroyed the Death Star.
Yep, he blew it up.
It was the Bears. He was hobbling.
See,
it was all the
totally
things.
You totally found the fucking through line of the 2018 season. Week 1 was the original Star Wars. Week 17
prequels.
Was the Last Jedi.
No, prequels. Last Jedi was somewhere in the middle. But this is the thing. Like, we give the guy a pass, to your point. We gave the guy a pass because of history.
Right.
And because of the Super Bowl.
God, that's good. But, I wish I'd thought of that.
But look at, you know, you want to talk about somebody who's kind of amazing that has had a very amazing through line in the NFL is Tom Brady. Don't like to talk about the guy. Don't like the Patriots. But if you compare Tom Brady to Aaron Rodgers right now,
Tom Brady wipes the floor.
Tom Brady keeps
wipes
fundamentals.
The floor.
Tom Brady sees the stuff. Tom Brady, he doesn't do the things.
Hits the checkdowns.
He hits the checkdowns. He does the simple
alive.
Stuff. He sees
now,
what Aaron Rodgers sees.
I know
he
the counter to this
is,
well, one has Josh McDaniels and the other has Mike McCarthy.
I don't think
blah.
That. I don't but think
I'll
that's
But I'll show
it.
You plenty of tape where he's passing up.
Tom
the
Brady.
Guy underneath.
Tom Brady has the same ability that Aaron Rodgers has in the sense of he can choose whatever the hell he wants to call. Even with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels as his coach, he is Tom Brady. He can choose whatever audible he wants. He can audible out of whatever he wants. Word. He can choose what he wants. He can choose whether to be complex or he can choose whether to be simple. He can choose whether he's going to check down. You got to give the guy props. He's in the Super Bowl.
For the ninth time. Ninth time, sorry. Pretty amazing.
That's amazing.
That's insane.
In this era, in an era where you can literally look at our sport, the NFL, right? And I say R because I'm a Packers shareholder. You can look at our sport, which I know is bullshit, but whatever. I believe in it.
I love it. I love
All
it.
You have to do is believe. Look, we believe it.
It's just belief.
Look,
it's
people are like
belief.
Stockholders BS. You know what else is BS? Money, currency.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
Think about it. Okay, it's nothing.
It's just paper.
It's just paper.
Put it on your wallet. It's worthless.
Yeah, the dollar bill in your pocket, that's worthless.
We have an agreed upon idea that this piece of paper is worth something.
Yeah.
As do Packer
fans. So it is.
With a stock.
So it is. Yep, and everybody's just jealous about it.
Exactly.
But anyway, Aaron Rodgers should not get a pass from fans. It's really annoying.
Oh, way too late for
There's
that.
A lot of
way
fans.
Way late for that.
There's a lot of fans. I mean, dude, here's the thing. Here's something that happened about the whole Aaron Rodgers thing.
Oh, boy.
So the whole thing came out where Mercedes Lewis talked about in the huddle.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And I don't think we had a show after this.
When he had the Rams game and McCarthy sent in the call and Rodgers waved it off and called what
said,
he wanted.
Said like, we're not going to do that.
And he called the protection himself, the route concepts himself, and then took a shot downfield 40 yards.
And there
MBS.
Are fans on Twitter that were like, anybody who thinks that Aaron Rodgers was insubordinate, Aaron Rodgers was insubordinate to his coach.
Yep.
That is most companies, that alone is insubordination is grounds for firing.
But okay. Don't ever, like, this is a real pet peeve. The whole, in most companies or in other, and where I work, et cetera, like, the NFL is a magical bubble that exists,
of course, in and of itself.
So,
there are players in the NFL that have been fired for less than
that.
Been
cut or benched or whatever. Yes. There is zero question there. Absolutely.
Now, they're not QB1.
No. Oh, has he regained that title?
Currently.
I love it.
It's a silly season, Nagler. It's a silly season.
It most certainly is. Speaking of silly season, let's get back to the script, shall we? Can we stop? Okay, now, all right. Good buddy, friend of show, friend of mine. Love him to death. Love him like a brother. Pete Doherty. He's got to stop this Le'Veon Bell nonsense.
What's the nonsense?
The madness. He's written, I think, 3 pieces at this point that the Packers need to sign Le'Veon Bell from the Steelers, who's going to be a free agent.
Why?
I just, you know, okay. Pete's thing is they're going to help Rodgers by getting him a superstar back And, you know, having a talented back will increase or help protect Rodgers, will take the pressure off of him, will help Rodgers in his later years. All of which I agree with in regards to a running game or having talent in the backfield. The Packers have talent in the backfield.
They do.
And yes,
Aaron Jones,
Le'Veon Bell is a cut above most backs in the NFL.
But you don't know.
But the idea that you're going to pay Le'Veon Bell upwards $15, $16, $17 million a season, which is what he wants, after you paid Aaron Rodgers $1 billion. So you're going to take up a humongous chunk of your cap on your quarterback and your running back while you're still deficient in 100 other areas.
And you have no pass rush.
When you have Aaron Jones, who's super talented,
yep.
You have Jamal Williams, who's an awesome
super
compliment,
talented.
And you have a draft full of backs
yep.
that you can go get.
And meanwhile, running back is like,
and that's the other thing. You, one hit to a guy who hasn't played in a year, one hit to Le'Veon Bell, and it's over. And you're back to timeshare with Jones and Williams anyway. And oh, by the way, now you've got a ton of money tied up.
Well, we are going to have some room, though.
Yeah, no, they will. They will. They'll have roughly 40, depending on.
I was
going
to say 30 to 40, right?
40 to 50. Probably. Ooh. Definitely over 40. Be 40, 44.
Is Goody going to spend that money, though?
That's a good question.
Is he going to Ted Thompson that stuff?
I don't know.
Is he gonna hold back on those dollars?
Okay, well, before we just get too far away.
Oh, I was trying to transition.
I know, but before we get way too far away from it, I just want to say, for the record, I'm going to address my camera here. Pete, I love you, but you're crazy. All right, that's all I got to say. Is he going to spend it? I don't know. What's next on the thing?
Ted Thompson. Your favorite.
You know.
Teddy. You know what? Here's the thing that sucks about Ted Thompson. It's something I can't talk about, and it's rude to talk about.
What's that?
I can't talk about it.
Yeah.
But the end of his era.
Banky, we're here to burn all the bridges. Talk about it.
Well, I just think it sucks because what happened, whatever has happened
to him. It's clear something happened medically.
Something's happened
to
him.
It's clear something happened
to his
health.
And I don't want to be that guy who's like.
And no one does.
I don't want to crap on his health because it's not.
No, and no one does. And everyone in Green Bay knows it. Everyone in Green Bay in the system, in the franchise, in the building knows something happened. Obviously, some of them know what happened.
Yep.
All right, and everyone around the team, everyone who covers the team, knows something happened.
Yep.
Something
and
is
some
up.
Of those people know
something
what happened.
Something is going on.
Yep.
But no one's going to say it, and no one will print it. Here's how sacrosanct it is. All right, Bob McGinn, who printed that Andrew Corliss was dealing with a miscarriage from his wife in his year-end grade for Andrew Corliss all those years ago. He printed about Andrew Corliss's dead baby. But even Bob McGinn hasn't gone down the road of what is wrong with Ted Thompson.
That's saying something.
That tells you how closed off, how completely radioactive this subject is, which is fine, and I understand, and I'm not going to go down the road of speculation because I don't know, and you don't know, and nobody watching knows. Well, maybe one or two people watching know. But my point is like
Winston Moss knows, and he
here's
might be
my
watching.
Thing. Here's where it does a disservice to Ted Thompson, and this is what you saw a couple days ago. I put up, I was so mad. It was late at night, home alone again, because like I do.
Were you reading a Reddit thread at the time?
I was not. Maybe I should though. Put myself in my place, but I'm like thinking about how everything could have really gone south. How everything. When they made that transition to Ted Thompson, when he hired Mike McCarthy, when he drafted Aaron Rodgers,
yep.
made the decision to, despite having Brett Favre, despite having a really, you know, promising team,
yep.
how things, we could be right now in the midst of the downturn, of the nuclear winter that is surely coming at some point.
Yep.
Well, which coming. We may be at the start of
no,
right now.
No, it's coming.
Don't know.
It's coming to New England first. Then it will come
well,
to us.
Maybe, but
that's my prediction.
I'm just saying, we could be long into it if it weren't for Ted Thompson.
Yes,
but Ted absolutely balled out while he was right.
Yep.
Then something happened, and he wasn't right anymore. And Packer fans won't shut up about, oh, his last couple drafts, or, oh, he's the reason we're bad now.
But he kind of is.
You need, okay, fine.
But that is true.
But someone
Both
allowed
things are
him,
true.
Someone allowed him to yeah. be in charge that, while he wasn't
it's
right.
It's kind of like, if you look at Favre.
While it was clear,
look at,
he wasn't
look
right.
Look at Favre leaving, right?
Right.
So Favre left very badly.
Right.
He left very badly. He was forced out, whatever you want to say, right?
Yep.
That didn't make me very happy, and it's left a bad taste in my mouth.
We have a video on YouTube to prove it.
Well, we don't anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Down.
We had to.
No, I took it down because I don't believe I'm not as mad about it. But then here's the thing. So it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and time heals some wounds. It doesn't heal all, but it heals some. And over time, I think we're going to see that. We're going to focus more on what Ted did. But the problem is that, yes, someone did not pull the plug sooner, and that someone. We know who that is. We've already just talked about probably the same reason why Matt LaFleur is not on this show right now.
You know what? I didn't want to speculate that.
I think,
but I'm pretty sure that's it.
I think that's it.
I
think that's it. If you look at our last two shows, we were pretty merciless.
Yeah, fine. You can't, like I said, the last show. Like, look, Mark Murphy, you put yourself in the head of football. We talk about football on the show. Your team sucks right now. That's on you. You don't want to, you know, you didn't want that. Just let Gutekunst be in charge and we can talk about how Gutekunst's team sucks.
I mean,
but you didn't want to do that.
The 2015 draft
is really bad. You know, the 2015 draft overall, if you look at the NFL, is really bad.
Wow.
But yes, Thompson had some really bad drafts. He made some really poor decisions as far as who to let go and who to re-sign. But guess what? As Rob Domofsky has reported, a lot of those decisions were Russ Ball. Why? Because Ted Thompson wasn't right.
Right.
And this gets back to my whole point. Packer fans, when you talk about Ted Thompson, put some fucking respect on his name.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because that man drafted Aaron Rodgers, which took balls as big as church bells to make that pick. People talk about him falling into his lap. Does anyone remember what the mood was like around the Packers when that pick was made?
I wanted him. I remember exactly what happened as I was doing it. We were live. We were actually live during that draft, and I was very excited about that pick. Very excited. You can go back to Transplants.
And everyone in Lambeau booed.
That was the most brilliant pick we ever made.
Booed. Loudly.
And you know what? Next year, the year after, we're going to have to make that same decision.
Probably next year.
You're going to have to make that decision. When your quarterback only has 3 or 4 years, you need to draft a new guy. You just got to do it.
So I just, you know, when you talk about Ted Thompson, the recency bias about Ted Thompson pisses me off so much.
I know, but we're so much in the place we are because of him right now.
Because of him.
Yes. Yes.
Did you hear anything I just said?
Yes. Doesn't make me any, that doesn't make me change my mind. Like, and you know what? Sometimes, dude, you know what you got to do sometimes?
What's that?
Sometimes you got to take yourself out of
so
the
wait,
game.
So wait,
sometimes you got to take yourself out of the game so that you can preserve your own legacy.
Yeah, but if you're not right, how do you take yourself out?
Take yourself out, coach.
You're just chilling.
Hey, I can't do this,
You're
coach.
Not right. So the onus is on the guy who has health issues.
I'm just saying.
Not the guy, the CEO, who's in charge.
It's called a legacy for a reason.
Yeah, but if you're not aware, how are you not thinking about your legacy?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll just say, Ted Thompson absolutely 100% deserves criticism for many of the moves he made throughout his tenure.
We won a Super Bowl. Thompson, yeah.
He drafted an MVP quarterback. He hired the coach who developed the Hall of Fame quarterback. Just lay off Ted Thompson.
He drafted the second best. Second best quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
Melissa says you're both right.
Nah, that can't be.
I like it. I like it. I'll stop.
That
right
never
there.
Works.
I'll stop right there. Yes, conflict is good. That's bad for ratings, Melissa. Take that back. All right, Super Bowl matchup. Here we go. Banky, I know you're excited. Sunday, it's a big showdown down there in Atlanta. Who's playing again? The Patriots and the Rams. Who you got?
Rams.
Now, is that your heart or your head talking?
Both.
So you think the Rams are going to win?
There is a picture.
Oh, there's a picture.
That I love. Mm-hmm. Our guy, Matub,
mm-hmm.
he posted it. I don't think he made it.
Right.
It's the greatest picture of all time. Mm-hmm. It's talking. I retweeted it. It is the one thing that purist Packer fans,
oh dear,
okay, really need to have this chart in their mind. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful chart. And on the top of this chart,
oh dear,
there are 13 world championships, mm-hmm. and it's got the like, it's got something in for the first ones because there wasn't really like a trophy,
and then
it shows like all the other teams, okay. And this
I've seen this. Yeah.
This is why I want the Rams. This is why I want, and the Rams will win, because
Rams will win.
What you need to do is you always, when you gets down to Super Bowl, whoever has the least amount of championships is who you want to win.
Yep. Because you don't want them to catch the 13.
That's right.
I feel that.
It's real simple.
I'm down with
that. Simple math.
It is simple math. But who do you think is going to win?
The Rams.
Okay. I'll say what I said on the radio earlier this week. I really want the Rams to win. I'll be pulling for them, but I think the Patriots will win.
I feel like if the Rams win, this is going to be a little left field.
Oh, boy.
So
here we go.
If the Rams win, it will justify our pick of LaFleur as coach.
Because of the Sean McVay thing.
Because of the McVay thing and because we went young.
Yep. There you go. I like it. I'm all for that. Ooh, David says the refs will win.
That's right. The refs always win.
Somewhat fair. What do I what?
Nothing.
Okay, there we go. Super Bowl matchup. Okay, speaking of the Super Bowl, can we stop? I think Rich Ryman wrote an awesome piece.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome piece.
He's written them like 10 times.
Yes, no one pays attention, but the Green Bay metropolitan area will never, ever, ever host a Super Bowl.
I don't know about ever, ever.
Ever!
No, I don't know
about
ever.
Super Bowl.
Not in our
lifetime.
Maybe. Not in our lifetime.
Ever, baby!
You don't know. If Facebook and
Google... Ever!
Look. If Facebook...
Ever.
Look. If Facebook and Google and another
company... Buy Green Bay.
No.
And build a huge...
If they all...
Metropolis.
If the three biggest...
Where Green Bay currently stands, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Then maybe.
If three Fortune 500 companies moved to Green Bay, over time, it would be big enough.
So in the year 3035...
I Green said Bay not could. In our lifetime, Green but Bay you're could. Saying ever, 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 ever.
Ever. Ever.
Do you realize that...
In a billion years.
Green Bay is one of the oldest cities in the U.S.
Jesus.
Did you know this?
Oh, God. Here we go. Yes.
It's older than America.
Older than America.
Okay?
Yes, much like the Packers are older than the NFL.
That's right. But it's actually more than 2 years older than the... than 3 years older than than America. 4 years older than... No, 3 years.
Roughly.
I can't count. 2 years. 21 was the NFL. Have
you guys seen the weather in Green Bay this week? That alone will keep that from ever happening.
Yeah, polar vortex. Yeah, but global warming moves up.
Oh, dear.
It might be
hey, 1,000 years from now, they could build a stadium with a dome on it.
That's never, ever going to happen.
See? There you go.
There's never, ever.
Banky back, ladies and gentlemen. There we go.
You can go ever all the way. I'm just saying, like, the biggest thing is hotels, right?
Yes. So if they'd have to build, like, 200 of them.
No, but Milwaukee could host a Super Bowl.
Yeah, kind of.
So Green Bay's just got to become.
Could you imagine the Milwaukee Super Bowl?
That'd be great.
I'd be down.
I would go.
I'd be so down.
Anywhere in Wisconsin, I would go.
Oh, of course.
Except Chicago.
The Chippewa Falls Super Bowl.
Chippewa Falls Super Bowl.
All in.
I mean, what if they get the high-speed train they've been talking about?
Oh, Sean Johnson. When Cole Madison shows up, we will host a Super Bowl. That's outstanding.
I just think, like, Green Bay has not seen its next heyday. It's still coming.
You know, yeah. And you know what will portend that resurgence? Titletown. The Titletown District.
Yeah, that, but I'm...
Titletown innovation.
That'll be part of it. But also...
I believe in that a hell of a lot more than I do a Super Bowl coming to Green Bay. Please. Super Bowl.
I also think, this is a little annoying. Like, when in Rich's article, which is great, by the way,
right.
He talks about how the NFL forces the team to have no state, city, or...
Right.
That should be illegal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's part of the thing.
Like, but that should be illegal. They should not be allowed to do that.
But because they have this bubble. That's the magical bubble that I was talking about before.
But that's
BS. They live in a world separate from reality.
No, that's BS.
It totally is.
Should literally,
it's been going on forever.
Congress should make a law that says the NFL can't do that.
They should, but they never will.
They might.
They would have to probably take away their tax-exempt
antitrust.
Stance. Antitrust. Thank you. Because they are no longer.
They better watch out, because one day that's going to happen.
Yeah, well.
That's only like 2 ref bad calls away from happening.
Exactly. Especially with the fact that they had like, they were quote unquote joking, but they were talking about bringing Goodell in for questioning with one of these like.
Yeah. Dude, if what happened to, here's the thing. If what happened to the Saints.
Right.
Imagine that really happening to Jerry Jones. Woo! Litigation City.
Or Robert Kraft. That'd be fun.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, they all know. You don't want to.
I don't know. You piss off. I'll tell you what.
You don't want to kill the fatty
cow. You piss off the wrong congressman, though, and you could get dragged into hearings pretty quickly.
That's true. I mean, who was it? Arlen Specter, put something forth about the Eagles years ago.
Put something about the Saints, one of the Louisiana congressmen.
Yeah, no, of course. But it's that's just meat for their base. I mean, that's not reality.
But what if you did?
They're not serious.
Here's the crazy thing.
That.
What if you did get rid of the antitrust exemption? That would open room for another league, right?
Yeah, well, and there are a ton of leagues starting up that are trying to, get a foothold in. But I don't, it's not the antitrust exemption that's going to make them fall
True.
On their face or you know what I mean? Rome to crumble. That's not going to be it. But
I just think that's ridiculous that if you're in a city, your event, say I love the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. I love the sport, whatever.
Right.
But say what you want. It's just the epitome of, I don't know, oligarchy. I don't know what it is, but it's just really freaking rude to go to a city and be like, oh yeah, you're going to exempt us from taxes. You're going to give us three golf courses, two bowling alleys for free, free parking for 3,000 people, all these hotel rooms.
Bowling. I love that.
It's true though.
I know, but I love the idea of okay, all this is fine.
This Goodell
play. You're giving away
Goodell,
the bowling alley.
Yeah, it's that's just the hubris,
Yes.
The hubris.
You know why?
The hubris
they're
a $32 billion worth of franchise every year. Mm-hmm. The hubris of that to be we don't have enough money.
Did you see that Bloomberg report that said, there was a consultant that said they're on their, Goodell's long stated, this is on the record years ago, by I think it's 2027 or something like that, they want to be a $25 billion revenue business. And they are well on their way. It's they are on target. In fact, they're in front of it. Mm-hmm. But the next labor negotiation, the next CBA is set for 2020. And the next television deal is coming up in a few years. And next year, this offseason, they have to, or actually 16 months, whatever, they have to renegotiate the online rights for a lot of these broadcasts.
Yep.
The Bezos thing at the Amazon, he talked to Goodell personally and got it for hundreds of millions of dollars. The next deal is probably going to be $1 billion
yep.
for online streaming rights, just for Thursday Night Football.
Yep.
And the television deal is expected to double.
Well, and the thing is, everybody thinks everybody thinks that streaming is going to surpass television, but it's actually, I'll tell you what, and people are going to hear me nerding out. There's this thing coming in 2020 called ATSC3, which is over the air. It's basically over the air 4K,
right.
And it's rolled out in 2020. So there's going to be a 4K license for over the air that's going to be huge, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be the streaming side. And there is no reason, to your point, right. There is no reason to look at that and go, both of those piles, that's mm-hmm. a pile of cash. But the CBA, I think it's going to be interesting where the politics of the country go. Not that we need to talk about politics, but I do think wherever the politics of this country go with the CBA,
right.
Wherever we go as a country in the next couple years,
the CBA is going to follow it.
I think it's going to track in the sense of what the players think they can really get away with and what they'll be able to accomplish.
Well, the thing is like I said, this is on record. Goodell's saying we want to get to $25 billion as $25 billion in revenue. At some point, these guys got to say, give us guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
And I know the only way that's ever going to happen is if they miss games.
Yep.
They have to miss games.
No, there's no way.
They have to sit out.
Yep.
They have to let them go, scab or what, replacements, whatever.
Yep.
But they got to do it. And that just up until this point in human history has been nay impossible. Other than the 83 strike, where they made some gains, but they sure as hell didn't get guaranteed contracts, and they sure as hell didn't make any inroads the way baseball did, way the NBA has.
But it's funny, it's like all the union really has to do, and I know this is pie in the sky, but if the union just basically reserved an entire year's salary for all of the players.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They have
Or even a 50%.
No, but they say that to the guys, and they say, the problem is you can't convince a dude who's been in the league 6-7 years,
yep.
who's up for his last
contract. Yeah, the second contract or the third contract.
The second contract to finally get that cut, And now all of a sudden, well, you got to give it up for these kids who are coming in. Like, yep. Screw you guys.
Yeah.
And then conversely, the young guys, is like, I finally get to the NFL, and now you want me to sit out a year?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
That's second contract, too. That's like the second contract, I think, that's harder for guys.
Just remember this. During the last lockout, the last labor negotiation, there were dudes taking loans out at 20, 25% interest.
Oof. But that's what I'm saying. If the CBA,
like, you
but
if can't do it.
But if
you
the,
cannot
if the
get
NFL,
this group of guys.
If the NFLPA is serious, that's what they would be. They would be pulling out of.
They're serious, but they're dealing with what we did. The situation we just talked about, like all.
No, but if you put those reserve
funds,
if you put the reserve funds, or if you're, if
but that's the point. They told them. This is like well reported. Last time around, they told them, guys, take X amount of every paycheck you get and squirrel it away. But outside
I'm saying like they could, whether the union, they can actually pull more out of guys, but they could literally pull a stipend from the last.
Like, make it a union law. Like, you have to do this if you're a member of the NFLPA.
Well, right now, the NFL
X percentage.
The NFLPA gets a percentage of every player's contract, of every player's salary, right? Every week they get paid. Okay, so imagine. As soon as the strike ended, right? Or not the strike, but as soon as the CBA was agreed to and they were like pissed off, the first thing I would have done is I would have been like, all right, well, we're going to take another 2% for the next 7 years until the next CBA as a pool of money that now we're going to distribute so we can strike.
Yeah, but even then, that's just, it doesn't, it's like, that's a drop in the bucket for a full season for like 2,000 guys. Who got families to support?
The other thing
got bills to pay.
The other thing is, look at the replacement season. Like,
that's like the Packers rainy day fund. It's like, oh, it's up to $300 million now. Great, that'll get you through like a month of the NFL season.
No, it's more than that for them.
I mean, it's like
they do like a quarter. I thought they did a quarter million a year.
No,
I think they have $600 million in reserve. I have to look at that.
I'll have to look at it.
I have to look at shareholders.
Feels high. Should we get to blogosphere now?
Well, I just want to say something about the CBA thing. It's like. It's like, because this is the crux of the NFL right now. It really is. It's going to be like the future. It's something to talk about in the offseason. It's like, what if they do replacement guys, it is virtually not the same product, but it's very similar. So that's even harder.
Right.
So like, what is striking really give you?
But here's the other, like, you talk about like, the guys aren't that much different. You're cheering for laundry, et cetera. I tell you what, the NFL has watered their product down so badly. At this point, it's like, you're watching the best athletes in the world. Are we, though? Because, like, every play, there's a flag or there's a stoppage or, like, you know, there's, like, some kind of basically horrible moment that brings you out of the action.
Yeah.
Like, NFL football now compared to, like, 10, 15 years ago is totally different. And
it's different. I don't know that it's worse.
All right.
The ratings don't say that.
No, of course, yes. Well, Titanic is the number one movie of all time. And that's a pile of garbage until you get to the last hour. So, wonderful. You know, popularity is not a necessary, adjunct to quality.
I wish the show was more popular.
Me too. All right, Andy, roll it. That's right! It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. The return from about 4 or 5 weeks ago. So, what has happened this week in the Packer Blogosphere, Corey?
I don't know what happened.
Jeff Janis went on a podcast. Former Green Bay Packers wide receiver went on a podcast that I have to admit I wasn't familiar with, but he went on TakeCast with Davis Maddock, who talked to Jeff about all manner of things during his career, not only in Green Bay, but in Cleveland, and now that he's a free agent, etc. And I would encourage our listeners and viewers to go and check out the podcast, because I thought Jeff was illuminating about his time in Green Bay, about his big game in Arizona, etc. But I found this particularly interesting. His comments when asked about Aaron Rodgers in 2018 being as demonstrative, his body language, what have you, in a negative way, I thought his response was interesting, to say the least. Andy, roll it.
He's so expressive on the field. You never have to like wonder like, oh, I wonder if he's upset with the play calling right now or upset with this wide receiver, this blocker. You can always tell. And he was maybe at an all-time high of the bad body language this last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and as a player, that was something I wasn't a fan of just because, you know, I'm a small school guy and all of a sudden I'm here playing with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback. And, you know, I think positive reinforcement works a lot better than negative. So I think I've seen that with a lot of young guys that were coming in, you know, in my third and fourth year when I would see rookies come in. And I mean, it can tear you down and break a player. I mean, you can take a really good player and if you just keep doing that stuff to him, I mean, he's going to start into to be one of those guys that you can't count on and stuff because he just, you know, feeling like he's, you know, inconsistent and starting to get down on himself. So, I don't know. It's one of those things that you can't really change because he is the way he is. So
there you go, Banky. What do you think? They're talking about the need for positive reinforcement. We should practice that here around Live X a little bit.
No,
more.
We should
a little more positive reinforcement.
There's plenty of positive reinforcement. Lord.
I just find it funny because like Janice is talking about in that clip, he literally says, like, I remember, you know, my third or fourth year rookies coming in. You know he's talking about himself.
Yeah.
You know he's talking about Rodgers being all demonstrative when he ran the wrong route.
Nothing is more annoying in life.
Oh boy.
Than a millennial talking about how they need positive reinforcement.
Is he a millennial?
He's gotta be. Everybody's younger than us, Nagler. Come on.
Fair point. That's a very fair point.
It's like, really? It's like, you know what? You know what, Jeff Janis? Try to come to New York in 1998 and get a job and get a temp job and try to make it in this town, okay?
We really are old.
It's hard. It's hard. I'm sorry. It's hard. The football's hard. Is it so hard? I'm yelling at you because you dropped the ball. Come on, man. Jeff Janis, man. What a joke. What a joke. The best thing that guy did was catch a Hail Mary from Aaron Rodgers in the Arizona game.
He had 101 yards in that drive.
Yeah, and then what happened to Jeff Janis? He fell off the face of the earth.
He broke his hand in training camp.
Yeah, he broke more than his hand, sounds like.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I did find it funny, but literally after that quote that we just played, a bit later in the podcast, he gets asked if he'd like to go back to Green Bay, and he says yes. Like, dude,
Mike McCarthy was mad at me.
Like, you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be like, yeah, bring back Jeff, who he teased all the time for being a body catcher. Like, you literally just, like, questioned his leadership. Like, I just thought it was funny. There was one other thing in the blogosphere, Packers or no.
Oh, yeah.
That maybe isn't on our script, but you wanted to touch on.
Okay, so everybody, actually, we're having drinks with an old buddy who was worried about Aaron tomorrow night. And he was worried about Aaron because Aaron put a post on Twitter that some of you might have seen. It got crazy responses on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
So Nagler, who, like, to me, like, he has, like, 12 Reddit posts about him, by the way.
Jesus.
And one of them is this show, the first show, the season of We Came Back, the comeback show. And so I'm like, in my head, I'm like reading this and I'm like, oh, a Reddit thread. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be gold for the show.
Oh, Jesus.
So Nagler gets all depressed. You know, it's Saturday night. He's depressed. Yeah. And like, I texted him. I'm like, bro, don't you realize Reddit threads are gold? And if somebody, here's the thing. In this world right now we live in, if anonymous trolls are writing about you.
Right.
That means you're famous.
No, it doesn't.
You have, if you put Aaron Nagler Reddit thread, it's like,
Don't encourage people.
12 threads. Okay, so anyway, so I was reading mine and the best was, I don't have my own Reddit thread. I'm like the tag along.
Stop.
In the Reddit thread, I'm like holding on to the coattails of Nagler. So this one is great. Okay, so
this
one is great. And I just want to read it out because I want everybody to understand the point of view and how this person is kind of right. I will say, so this person is like, he likes Nagler, but he goes, I will say that his Packer Transplants co-host to me is far worse. I just can't stand him or any of his takes. He basically acts like he's a superior fan to anybody and looks down on them. I agree. Literally tells people how to fan. Well, yeah, if you're a purist, which I am. It's obnoxious. Had a whole rant about people having the nerve to discuss the Brewers when they were on the cusp of a possible World Series trip during Packers football season. Because I represent the people that don't care about the Brewers. That only care about the Packers.
That's fair.
So here's the best part of his post, besides the actual content, is the person who wrote it, the login name, is Captain Sweaty Pants. I mean, this is gold.
Oh, Captain Sweaty Pants.
There's nothing better. The only thing, the greatest thing about Cheesehead TV is all of the people that we've gotten to meet that are Packer fans, like the real life people, right?
Yeah.
People that show up, people that come, they say stuff. It's amazing. And Packer fans are amazing. And it's just, this to me is like gold. I look at this stuff and I'm just like, clearly you have no life because you have to sit there and say that. So to Captain Sweaty Pants of the Reddit thread that hates Aaron Nagler, I salute you.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I don't think we really need to cover anything else.
Oh, we got to congrats to Allison Hendricks.
Oh, yes, yes. Big time congrats.
Big time fan of the
show. Allison Hendricks, she has responded with her shirt that she wants. She is the latest winner in the Overstock t-shirt giveaway here at Cheesehead TV.
Yes.
To anybody out there, if you'd like to be entered, join our Patreon, patreon.com, Cheesehead TV. $5 a month enters you not only to win unused t-shirts. They are just overstocks.
They're new.
Brand new, just haven't been used. Been sitting around in a box for a long time.
Yep.
But it also supports everything we do. This LED wall behind me, it ain't cheap. This microphone I'm talking into, it doesn't just materialize out of thin air. Everything we do, you're supporting everything. So $5 a month to become a fan of Cheesehead TV, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. Get on board. Thanks a lot, everyone. Corey, anything else?
Nope.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connects with us all across the internet, be it here at Cheesehead TV or any of our social channels. You guys really help make this a unique fan experience, and that's why Corey and I are here. We are, and will always be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information in past press conferences? Do we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what, last week it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.